This time of the year, all we hear is Mary. Mary, 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 Mary. I don't really have anything against Mary because my middle name's Marie, you know. Of course, it's a form of Mary. However, I always wonder, what about Joseph? Does he just go trailing along behind Mary all the time? I have to admit, the story of Joseph doesn't really make a very good Christmas pageant. I mean, he's lying in a bed dreaming. How do we make a pageant out of that? And yet, I believe that Joseph is a very important part to this drama. We can't ignore Joseph. And Matthew doesn't want us to. Matthew doesn't just toss Joseph off with a line like Luke does and say, she was engaged to a man named Joseph at the house of David. End of story. No. Matthew wants us to really think about Joseph. And he starts out the book of Matthew with this genealogy. You know, one of those things that kind of makes you go, you know, the begats out of the Old Testament. But this one's different. This one is really different. We learn immediately that this is an account of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, and the son of Abraham. This Jesus is rooted deeply in the tradition, going all the way back to Father Abraham. Some of you went to camp maybe saying that song, Father Abraham had many children. Well, Jesus is one of those many children that came down the line. But Joseph somehow is related to this house of David, which is very important. And we read through here and we expect to see all these, you know, famous men out of the Bible who are the ancestors of this baby Jesus to come. Only as we're reading along here, we suddenly see Zerah by Tamar and Perez. Well, maybe you don't remember your Bible, but Tamar seduced her father-in-law in order to have a child. Oh, and then we just keep on reading here, and here is this amazing woman named Rahab. Remember the Battle of Jericho? There was a prostitute who protected the spies, hid them from the authorities, and helped them get out of town safely. And she put down this red cord outside of her window so they would know which person to protect when they attacked the city. Rahab, interesting. Then in the very next sentence, we read about Ruth. She was a Moabite, a foreigner. And yet she's in the genealogy. Ruth came back from Moab to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. She had a baby who became the grandfather of King David. And as we read on through this list, we see another surprising name, the wife of Uriah. That's Bathsheba, the woman that David took and then had her husband killed in battle. Now, you expect this genealogy of Jesus to read like a who's who from Israel. And yet it doesn't. We have the most exceptional, unusual, unbelievable people on this list, in this genealogy. So we know that we have a God who does some pretty unusual things. And maybe using a virgin named Mary to have a baby isn't so far-fetched after all. But poor Joseph doesn't know the whole story. He just knows that his betrothed, Mary, has come up pregnant before they got married. Now, in this society, virginity is very important. The whole marriage arrangement is much more formal than what we are accustomed to. We go out and we date, we get engaged, and it's all nice and everything. But they had to have the marriage arranged. So Joseph has gone in to talk to Mary's father. He's agreed to pay a bride's price. He's agreed to pay a dowry. And her father, in turn, has agreed that she will bring certain assets into the marriage. Maybe so many sheep and so many chickens for the flock. But she will bring some things to the wedding, to the marriage as well. And so before they can actually consummate their marriage, they're married legally when they sign the paper that he's going to pay all this stuff. But they can't consummate the marriage until he has actually paid Mary's father all that money. And he apparently has done that now. And they're down to the stage where they're going to actually consummate the marriage, and that means that Joseph and his friends would come to Mary's father's house. There'll be a room set aside. They will have a virginity cloth that they lay on the bed. They will have witnesses to whom they will hand this virginity cloth to prove that Mary is indeed a virgin. Whoops. Don't think it's going to happen, do you? And it tells us that Joseph is a righteous man. A righteous man knows what the rules of Deuteronomy say, that say, if the woman is found to not be a virgin, the men of the town can come and haul her out of her father's house and stone her to death. Joseph knows this. He's a righteous man, and he's going to uphold the law. And no matter how much he might love Mary, in order to show his love for God is greater, he has to uphold the law. But Joseph apparently also has some mercy and kindness in him as well, which is also part of that righteousness of being right with God. Poor Joseph. He must have had a lot of sleepless nights when he first got this news. And what can he do? He can leave her to her fate. He can refuse to marry her and state the reasons, and that would be a divorce. He would have to divorce her at this point. And if he divorces her, publicly saying, I'm not marrying her because, he will be able to keep the dowry. He will be able to keep the bride price. He will be able to keep all of the assets she would bring. But our scripture tells us, Joseph chose to dismiss her quietly. That means that Joseph is not going to state a reason for the divorce. He's going to just plain sacrifice the dowry. He's going to sacrifice the bride price. He's going to give up all of those assets and just simply dismiss her quietly. Joseph is a righteous man. And he does all of this before he goes to bed one night and has a dream. We, the readers, know that she is going to have a baby by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph's not in on that part of the story yet. And so he goes to bed having made his decision. And he dreams. He dreams. And he is told, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for her child is conceived in her from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the prophet said. Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. And what did Joseph do? He got up, and he did what God commanded. Didn't say he debated. Didn't say he doubted. Didn't say anything like that. Joseph got up and did what God commanded. And so we have Joseph. Joseph. Joseph is the first disciple. He did what was right. Not just what was righteous. He did what was right, what was just, and he did what God wanted. He trusted God in the midst of a very difficult situation. A situation that could bring him all kinds of ridicule, rejection. Can you imagine the tongues in Nazareth wagging? Did you hear about Mary? You know Joseph? You know what he did? And he takes this woman as his wife. He denies himself the privileges of a husband. He takes on a child to raise who is holy. And most importantly, he takes that baby and he gives it his family heritage. He claims that baby, and rather than the mother naming him, Joseph names him. And that means that Joseph is taking him in to his family. And so Jesus, our Savior, is a son of David. And it's all because of Joseph. So what we have when we look at Joseph, we have an example of what it means to be righteous, what it means to be faithful. And part of what that means is that we have to accept the fact that our God will do the most amazing thing. Sometimes with the strangest people. God doesn't pick the ones that are ordinary or the ones we might pick and say, oh, what a great person she or he would be to be a minister. God picks the ones that are saying, no, I don't want to be a minister. God picks people who are down and out. God has angels who serve as messengers to us, who don't look much like angels. They just look like you and me, maybe wearing a torn coat, shabby shoes, with mud all over their pants. Because our God is an amazing God. And like Joseph, we have to realize that the world is not all black and white, that it's full of grays. That righteousness is not necessarily about following a book of laws, but sometimes it's about following our hearts and what God is leading us to do and say, which we just know is right. And so, like Joseph, we sit in the quiet. Perhaps we dream. Or maybe we don't trust our dreams. Maybe we listen to still, small voices. Maybe we sit together in a Bible study and read God's word and talk about it and see what other people have to say. All I know is we do not get easy answers. And just because we're Christians doesn't mean life is going to be easy either. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face thorny situations. Situations where we're not sure what to do. That we follow the example of Joseph. We'll listen. We'll listen very carefully in as many ways as possible for the Word of God. And when we hear that Word of God, we will do just that. Without asking questions, but saying, "Thank you, God, for answering." Let us pray. God, help us to be open to your answers, to your word, and help us to have the courage to do what you ask us, even if it might seem not only hard, but impossible. Thank you, God, for your wondrous work and your startling work. Amen.